podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Super Rugby podcast with your hosts, Damien Warren and
Toby Harris.
Oh, it's been a busy week at work for you and me, sir.
Already, eh? It's only day two of the working week, and I already want to jump off a bridge.
Well, I was enjoying work so much, I got a new job.
Whoa, how about that?
Hey, that so there you go.
Just great news.
Hey. No contract signed just yet.
No, but
all change on the Western Front.
Have you got
front.
The paperwork?
No paperwork yet.
Good. Which, promising.
I got the thumbs up from the head. He said,
"Did you?
I want you, big fella." And then he's probably realised that I'm not very good. But anyway, we all live in hope, don't we?
I thought he was Australian, not a Kiwi.
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so it's good, mate. Good new school.
Have you told school?
New start. I've told my school, yeah. Not telling them on live on this podcast. So that's always a positive.
Mm. Have you told other people at the school?
Yes, I have. So it's out in the open.
Is it?
Yeah, even before I signed the contract. So I'll look really stupid if I don't end up signing the contract. But anyway, I'm gonna sign that contract quicker than you can say he's got more toe than a Roman sandal.
Hey, dry as a dingo.
It has been a really busy week when it comes to rugby with Six Nations squads being put out
announced.
There.
Yep.
And there's been a whole host of other rugby stories that we're going to go over. Now, Tobes, last week I was sent a very, very good document. Website to read over. And I think that was quite good. So the Razzler the Dazzler has also sent me a wonderful...
Doesn't like being one-upped, does he?
No. The Razzler Dazzler has sent me also a fantastic article that I wanted to share with you today. And it was a little
Can I just stop you there? Can I just stop you there?
Go on.
Do you think the listeners... Every time it goes, oh, we got something from the Razzler the Dazzler, they go, oh, God.
No, because it's always good quality
it's
information.
Good, it's good content.
Better than
how does
your
he do it?
That you put out on a weekly. But he actually looks at rugby, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Does he?
He actually does a bit of work.
Ah.
That's why.
It's a pity he's got no personality.
Oh.
Low blow. I'm joking.
Anyway.
I'm joking.
I've read this as a little bit of sour grapes, okay? So I'm not condoning this. It's all about the fact that this is all from the New Zealand Herald. So here we go, sour grapes. South Africa beat us. And now what are we doing? We're turning the finger and saying it's all because they're juicing. And we have mentioned this a number of years ago, that we think there is a bit of an issue with the old juicing at the junior level. But there is a little bit of evidence to say that there is a possibility that a number of the players in the World Cup squad at some point in their career, whether they're doing it now or whether they've done it in the past, possibly have juiced in the past. Now, what I would say is, you know, as far as I'm aware, there is a pretty decent testing program going on, isn't there?
It'll be rigorous, I think, for the international players.
I mean, I know that I've been drug tested playing in the NPC third division. So if I'm having
but they saw watched... your potential, they were like, this guy's a big dog.
I reckon
how have we not tested him?
I reckon they just fancied me and wanted to watch me piss in a cup. That's what I'm just going to put out there, okay?
They've heard stories, eh? Honestly, it hits the floor.
He's called tripod, this lad. And when they see me, they're like, oh, nope. They're like, nope. The rumors are not true. They are not true.
Who's been lying to us?
But, you know, I've been tested. So, crikey, if I'm being tested, third div, rugby championship, you can't tell me these professional players would think they can get away with it is my point, okay? So, you know, you're getting ready for a World Cup. I don't think you'd risk it for a biscuit, surely.
No.
And also, I don't think that the systems around rugby are complex enough, funded well enough to be taking drugs that can beat, you know, the test as well. It's like, you know, you can imagine in Russia, you can imagine in big money sports, there must be a huge investment going into beating such tests. But I just don't think that's happening in rugby. But they do make some good points saying, well, you know, if it's going in as a youth to get in, then must be very difficult to then, you know, not keep taking them. But yeah, I'm just saying there's only been one South African test match player, which is one player, can't pronounce his name, who has been proven to have taken performance enhancing drugs. I have known other players to be caught taking recreational drugs and banned for that, but not performance enhancing drugs.
No, yeah, I'm not. I know his face, but I'm not sure his his name.
He was the winger, wasn't he? He was the winger.
No.
Oh.
The guy who's just been found out.
Oh, is there another one?
Yeah, there's a number 10.
Oh.
Number 10 with the always had like the real funny haircut, didn't he?
Oh, was that drugs? I thought that was just because he was knocking off the the physio.
Oh, nah. Nah, I don't think
I reckon he got done, mate, because he was knocking off the physio. I don't think he got done because he was juicing. But we could start a dirty rumour.
Nah, I think he has. But it's funny because I got I also got something from the Razzler, the Dazzler. The Springboks formula, winning formula, roids.
Yeah. Yes. But it does say here, this particular drug, you can put on 6 to 8 pounds of lean muscle in an 8-week cycle.
Yeah.
That is impressive, isn't it? You know, you think you're going into like a World Cup and you want to put on the lean muscle. They don't really need to, though. They're the biggest human beings in the world.
Well, that sort of goes quite nicely into my first news story.
Oh, are we going to do breaking news kindly supported by our
Patreon members?
Oh, very good. Very good. There you go.
Now, remember, if you're a Patreon member, send us your number and we'll add you to the group.
Yes, there is already a group of four.
Us two included.
Us two included, so we're welcoming. It's really nice, actually. We've had a few text messages already, haven't we? A few WhatsApps already, so it's been quite good.
WhatsApps. Anyway, Caleb Clark loses 5 kilograms. Yes.
Oh, I had more than that, mate. I had him down.
Did you?
At losing.
What?
8 kgs.
What?
8 kgs. So obviously, your story is slightly older than my story.
Your story is the same as my story. I'm just not very good at maths.
Or reading.
Whoa. Hey.
Sorry.
That's not very nice.
Nah.
So, yeah, 8 kgs. That's a lot.
That's a hell of a lot. for because he is a big fella, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a big dude.
The picture that I saw also made him look real lean.
He looked cut, didn't he?
He looked cut, and I've never seen him look cut before. He's always looked like he's carrying a little bit extra.
I wouldn't say he's carrying a little bit. He's got some thunder thighs, but also pre-season, so he's going to be cut.
I reckon this is it for him. I reckon he, because when you read it, the story, he actually goes on and sort of says, I've still got time, and that kind of means talking about his NFL dream, not NFL, NRL dream. Right. And he kind of saying, like, I've still got time. I'm still young. I can still give these All Blacks a, go, and then, you know, if I don't make it, I can go across. But my point being, I'm guessing he's like, right, this is the year. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it this year, and then I'm through to the World Cup. But I've got to fight for my place because, you know, there's some bloody good players out in those wings, isn't there?
Yeah, that's where we're reasonably okay. Reasonably okay.
Now, my first story was a bombshell for me, okay? And I did struggle with it for some time. It was Australia's long-term vision questioned after Joe Smith signs an 18-month contract to coach Australia. So the news for me is not about Australia's long-term vision. It's the fact that they have got one of the best coaches in the world to coach their team. I mean, he is the perfect person to take the Australian team. They are young, they're energetic, but they need kind of just shaping up and, you know, and just getting them up to speed. And Joe Smith is the best man for that job in world rugby. They couldn't have got a better guy.
I agree. But, you know, again, I've seen a news story where some of the younger players in the Wallaby squad are looking at the NRL. They're looking at a switch.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so is he going to be a pull to then go, come on, fellas, you know my track record. You've seen what I've done. Let's be in it together.
I hope so. I mean, we all need, like, the world rugby needs a good Australia. You know, don't get me wrong, I don't want to lose to Australia. I don't want to lose the Bledisloe. But if Australia are weak, then Super Rugby's weak. If Super Rugby's weak, then our players are going to get bored thrashing them every week. They're more likely to go overseas. So we need a strong Australia. Now, I was shocked because Joe Smith, as far as I was aware, didn't want to have, be a head coach again, as far as I was aware. So the fact that he is going to, you know, be the head coach is quite a massive thing for the Aussie team to get him. So
I'm surprised, you know. He obviously wants to make a quick difference because he's only signed 18 months. So he's sort of going, right, if I can do something in 18 months, then I'll sign for another 2-3 years. You know, I'll take them to the World Cup. Otherwise, I'm off. You know, he's done quite well there.
I think it's, you know, yeah. It would turn me on, mate. You know, if...
Excuse me?
You didn't have... It would turn me on, wouldn't it? You've got nothing to lose taking Australia at the moment. You know, Eddie Jones had everything to lose. Dave Rennie had a little bit to lose. Joe Smith has got absolutely nothing to lose. If he goes to Australia and it all goes pear-shaped, you know, they are rock bottom at the moment. So I'm saying he's got a bit of a free pass going into this. But I really, really think quite strongly that it give them 2 years under him, 18 months under him. I'm not sure they can be flying because I just can't see their forward pack ever truly dominating other teams' forward packs. But I definitely think that their work rate, their backs, their defense will be flying in 18 months. They'll all be on the same page. You look at what he did with Ireland.
Yeah.
They all knew exactly what they were doing together. You look at what he did with New Zealand. He took a stale defense that was struggling to punch holes into a team that, you know, we started to get back to where we wanted to be. A defensive structure that was, you know, everyone was proud of. So I'm real, real shame for New Zealand rugby that he's gone to Australia, apart from the fact we need Australia to be pretty good.
So, okay, I've just got the world rankings up. Where do you think Australia are?
Oh, are they something like 8th or 10th? They're between 8 and 10, I think.
They are. They're 9. So you're spot on. 8?
That is bloody fantastic, isn't it? Let's be honest about that. That is good. That is good. Right, mate, is that your second story? The
No, so my second rankings. Story, it can be, but my second story is like Finn. Finn Russell makes, the story says what Finn Russell makes of Owen Farrell signing for Russing. Okay.
Okay.
Now, if you were in his shoes, what would you say?
I'd say absolutely brilliant. Great idea. He's not going to be as good as me at Russing 92.
Correct. And do you know who's coaching Russing?
Oh, no. I don't know.
Stuart Lancaster.
Oh, no, I did know that. Yeah, that's I mean, well, no. Now that you mention it, it rings a bell.
Right.
You could have asked me that question 100 times. I still would have not said him. But now that you said it, I do, yeah, it does ring a bell. Because I was really surprised to hear that he'd gone to France, because he's always been someone that likes to be in and around his family home, which is in Leeds. So, you know, all his jobs he's taken before. And even in Leeds, you know, when he coached at Leinster, he would fly, you know, back and forth all the time just so he could spend time at home. Maybe he can still do that in Racing 92.
Yeah, well, you know, what are they playing at the moment? Is it the Champions?
Yeah, so basically the Heineken Cup. They don't call it the European Cup anymore because there's South Africa in there.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, that, you know, Racing, did they win it last time?
No, that was La Rochelle. That won. I think they won it twice, the last two times back to back. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it sort of goes on to say, well, it's not really important, but I was just wondering what you wanted to, or what you thought of it. But he does go on to say, you know, Paris is lovely. He'll do really well there. He'll thrive under Stuart, kind of thing, because Stuart's coached him before. In the 2015, successful 2015 World Cup for England.
Very successful. Mm. Very successful, yeah. But I think he's a good coach, as Stuart Lancaster, without question. You know, you look at his results as a coach, even with that England team, apart from that exit, he'd done really well going to that World Cup. He'd really developed that side.
They had so much potential as well.
They did. They were about a year too early to that World Cup, weren't they?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
I'm just having to plug in my laptop so I don't run out of gas. So just stick with me for a little bit while I do this. I'll be back.
Well, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to actually figure out how good Stuart Lancaster was coach-wise.
You look at where he's been, success has followed. So I would say he's a very, very good coach.
Okay,
he was a PE teacher. He was a PE teacher.
Oh, great. Great. We are really good.
Sorry.
Okay. So he coached 46 test matches.
Yeah.
46. What was his win percentage out of those 46?
I reckon 50%.
Oof, God, that's harsh, man.
That's not bad for an England coach, I don't think.
Okay, he is 2-4. He's sixth on 60%.
Okay, sixth of all time.
Sixth of all time. Who do you think tops
Clive Woodward.
Clive Woodward is fourth on 71%.
Wow, he had a great team as well.
He did.
Jeez, he was with them for a long time, so I guess he went
through. He was with them for 83 tests.
Yeah, that's a lot, isn't it, for a coach? Who's better than that? Ugh, I don't really know that many. I mean, Eddie Jones had a spell, didn't he, where he did really well with them, but then it fell off a cliff. So I would say Eddie Jones would just be in front of him.
Eddie Jones is top.
Eddie Jones is top?
Yep.
Wow, what was his win record? I mean, you know, he won loads in a row, didn't he? But wow.
Yes, so Eddie Jones was actually the coach for a very long time.
How many tests?
He coached them for 81 tests.
Wow.
With a win percentage of 72.8.
It's not bad, that, is it? Especially for an England team.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if he had left a bit earlier and not had a real shocker of like last two years. Yeah. He would have had a hell of a win rate.
I know.
Hell of a win rate, yeah. That's impressive, that is. Mate, my next story is Marky Marks. Mark Nwangasasiya. I don't even know how to say it, but we all know who it is. Australian rugby's one of their best players, one of the young guns coming through. He has signed for the Sydney Roosters NRL team.
Oh, so he has signed.
Yeah. And when he was asked why, he went, I just want to win.
Yeah.
I just want to win. I'm sick of losing. Because, you know, he's you look at the Aussie teams, they struggle. As in, he was a New South Wales Waratah. You know, they hadn't won anything. He's then gone into Australia. They've been kicked out of World Cup. And he's probably looking at the future going, well, nothing much is going to change over the next 4 years, so I might as well go and play a bit of NRL.
Yeah, fair.
And I think he'll make a hell of an NRL player, actually.
I agree.
He was one of those kids who I actually thought the future was looking pretty bright from after the World Cup. He was one that really stood out as a top player for the Aussie team.
Yeah.
Mate, so, what call?
No.
Oh,
no,
go on.
No.
Sorry.
You're
sorry,
not listening
sorry.
To me.
No. Sorry.
So, okay. So we were talking about Eddie Jones being the most successful English coach, being Australian. Who in New Zealand is the most successful over 20 tests?
Graham Henry.
You're wrong.
Oh. Over 20 tests.
Second. Well, he's third.
You're gonna pull out some, you know, All Blacks team from the like 50s, aren't you? Oh, they didn't get
breaks. That's the Toby of old.
Okay, so go on. Who's number one?
Steve Hansen.
Really? It sounds awful, but I didn't really rate Steve Hansen. I mean,
no.
Blatantly, he is down as number one coach, but he didn't hear it. A very good team. And arguably, they should have won 3 World Cups in a row, and he completely and utterly mucked up by getting Fozzie in to coach the backs.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. What do you think his percentage is? So bearing in mind that I think Steady Eddie's was 72 or 71.
He's going to be in like 85%.
86.9. Yes. What do you think Ian Foster's was?
Oh, he's the worst, I think. He's the worst, isn't he?
No.
So you've got to go back, way, way back to beat him. I'm going to say his was like 67%. Nah, must be more than that. 73%.
69%. 69.5.
Oh, great number, though.
Oh, Damien.
The only bit that ruins that number is the 0.5 on the end.
Although Scott Robinson is currently at the bottom.
Well, he hasn't played a game.
Yes, yet. There you go. So well he's actually, done. Hey, no skin off your nose, sir.
Do you know what? It's going to be very interesting fast forwarding a year and seeing how he does.
Mm.
Definitely. Ah, great little story there from you, sir. Great stats.
Thank you.
I always knew you were a stats man. Mate, what caught your eye over?
Statistician. What caught your Jaco Piper?
Yes, go on.
Hangs up his whistle.
Oh, it's a shame, actually. I think he is one of the best refs.
Yes, I agree.
Is it with immediate effect or is this?
Yes.
Because I think he owns a law firm. I think he's got a family law firm. He's obviously going to go and, you know, be a lawyer again.
That.
Yeah, I think so.
Did not know that.
Yeah, shame. You know, it's. I don't think the quality of the younger refs coming through is up to the standard of the Jaco Pipers of the world, the Nigel Owings of the world. They were two, in my opinion, very good referees. And I don't think anyone's of that caliber. And obviously Wayne Barnes as well. Those three, for me, were top class referees. Question to you though, Toes. Why are the New Zealand refs just not that good anymore?
No, they're not, are they? The only one that's sort of internationally recognised is Ben O'Keefe.
Yes, and sometimes he's very good, and other times he's not so.
No, I agree. He's a bit inconsistent.
A bit of a shame, isn't it? But like a lot of things in New Zealand, used to be very good, and aged not so well. Anyway, mate, I've got a couple of things. The first one is, this is a list of players who have played for England who are going to be applying their trade overseas in France next year, okay? So you might know some of these names. You might not know all of them, okay? But anyway, it gives you a flavour. So Harry Williams, former Exeter Chief, 19 caps for England, okay? In 2021. So this is quite new. He's not an old person, right? Okay. Jack Singleton. Kyle Sinclair is reported to be going to play overseas in Toulon next year. Okay.
Really?
Courtney Laws. Yeah. Courtney Laws. Dave Ribbons. Lewis Ludlam. Now, what I would say is, yes, you might look at that and say, okay, Courtney Laws at the end of his career. Yes. Okay. But not Lewis Ludlam. Now, this is a young guy. Yeah. Young guy, and joining Jack Willis, who also is a young guy who could be playing for England right now. Sam Simmons, another young guy that could be playing for England. Dan Robson, don't know Dan Robson very well. Owen Farrell, the current or was the current England captain. Christian Wade. And we all know Christian Wade. I would love to see how he's doing at Racing 92 because, you know, going to the NFL didn't work out for him, was it? Another one is Joe Marchant, another young guy could be playing. Jonathan Joseph, another young guy could be playing. Jack Noel, again. And the big one, the youngest of them all, is Henry Arundel. So all of these players.
I heard he's gone, yeah.
You know, could be playing for England, are going to be playing overseas next year. And I think it's just the way that, well, you know, that the door has opened and maybe the floodgates will soon follow, is my point. And the only other story I've got is that the New South Wales Waratahs become the first member union in Australia's formally committed Rugby Australia plan, which means that they're centralising, like in New Zealand. They're going to centralise all the clubs. So like the Crusaders, the Blues and whatnot, they're all owned by New Zealand Rugby. So now is New South Wales Waratahs. So it's the first step in trying to sort out the mess that is the Australian rugby side. Would you though, sir, would you join if you were the Reds or whatever, or would you want to stay independent?
Oh, you kind of do it for the cause, wouldn't you?
I think so. And also, you're passing off all your liabilities.
It's a good idea. Yeah.
If you don't make money, if you're losing money.
It's a good, it's a good sort of, I don't know, plan as a company, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Mate, it's time for listeners' questions, okay? So I want you to answer this question because I am biased. This just comes from Phil T. There are a number of Super Rugby preseason matches taking place over the coming weeks, but do you think the Crusaders can beat either Bristol Bears or Munster on their UK tour?
I think they can win both. I think it'll depend on the weather conditions. I think if they hadn't lost the most recent cohort of All Blacks, then I would have said definitely, but it'll be closer because weather conditions, pre-season for the Crusaders, mid-season for both of those clubs, Bristol and Munster. I think they'll be two really good games.
I'm just not convinced that Munster will put out a really strong team against them because they are still in the Champions Cup.
Yeah, why would Bristol, you risk injury?
Yeah, Bristol Bears may be more likely to put out a better side, I would say, because they're kind of out of the running. But why would you risk your players when you're still in a big competition? So I'm going to say, Phil, it's going to be tough though, isn't it? You know, as you say, it's like cold, it's going to be wet, it's going to be horrible. They haven't had many runouts. I'd be surprised if they won, but fingers crossed, because, you know, we need to win, to give Super Rugby a little bit of a, you know, dip, saying, yeah, we're still the big boys. We're still, we're still going to be the ones to beat.
Yeah.
Mate, my question to you, though, is you need to answer this one honestly as well, okay? Would you take performance-enhancing drugs if you knew you would not get caught?
100%. Why wouldn't you? But why wouldn't
moral, you? You know, the morals of it, you know? Cheating. Nah. So you are telling me you're sitting
if you're not going to get A-levels. If you're not going to get caught, A-levels, then it's all right, isn't it?
All right. So you're sitting your A-levels and you know you're not going to get caught. Your teacher gives you the old winky winky. Yeah. All right. And you do the old switcheroony with your A-levels. Would you be happy to do that?
100%.
I couldn't do it. I honestly couldn't do it.
Do you know why I could do it?
Why?
Because it's just a piece of paper.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of get that. Doesn't define you.
No, it doesn't but also our employees, obviously they're worried about the piece of paper, but are they really that bothered about what score you got? Maybe some are, yeah, granted, but most now are bothered about the person that they're hiring. Are they like their personality, is their personality a good fit for our company?
Yeah.
Not, I get this that. Guy's the smartest person I know, but he's as, you know, dull as dishwater.
Yep. I get it. You make a good point. What about the performance-enhancing drugs then? That's not just a piece of paper.
No, that's not just a piece of paper. But if you can get one step ahead of the rest, then so be it. You know, I can almost guarantee you, Damien, that most Olympic gold medalists will be on some form of performance-enhancing drugs. It's just their chemists are one step ahead of the drug chemists, as in like the anti-doping.
Now, here goes a good one for you, right? Okay, so this is where my loophole comes in for me. If someone came to me and said, here's a pill, right? It's going to have the same effects as an anabolic steroid, but it's not against the rules at the moment. Yeah, it's not against the rules at the moment because it's so new that, you know, it when they're testing it, it's still not going to show up. Then I'd say, yep, sign me up to that good stuff. And the reason is because it's not against the rules at the moment.
It's not cheating yet.
It's not cheating at the moment. Is it cheating? Well, no, because if I can get it, then anyone could get it and anyone could take it because it's not against the rules. That's where I'd be.
But that's what's happening at the moment.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. You know, I'm kind of like, well, you know, if the you know, is it in the spirit of the game? Well, you don't play a lot of sports in the spirit of the game. Do you know what I mean?
Like, not at a high level.
That's part of the joy of playing at top level is you're always trying to push the rules.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't be an athlete, a competitor, if you weren't pushing the rules. I kind of agree. You know, no problems there. But yes, if I knew it was on the ban, I just wouldn't be able to sleep at night. I'd be like, even if you said to me, oh, you're not going to get caught, whatever. I still couldn't sleep at night, and I just would feel pills.
You just take another drug to help you sleep.
I couldn't live with myself knowing that I was cheating, is my point. Mate,
it is what it is.
Have you got a question for me?
Well, Damien, I've actually got a little quiz for you.
Oh, do you?
Yes. Now, this is about numbers, so average numbers or attendances in stadiums.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Hit me.
So out of the top, okay, so we're going the Premiership. We're going the Japanese League. We're going the MLR. Also, yes. MLR, I've got a new team for next year or this coming season.
Who are they?
We're going Super Rugby.
Yep.
And we're going the top Pro 14 or something like that. Or is it the...
Okay. That's the French.
The French league.
So I am going, as in, I've got to rank them, do I?
You've got to rank them.
Yeah. Okay. Average crowd attendance over the whole competition.
Over the whole competition. Or I'm gonna so there's two. There's sort of the top attendance and average.
Okay.
Well, but what we can do is we can go through each one. So instead of you ranking, so we can go like, okay, so top attendance. Carry on.
I'm gonna go for average attendance over competition. Okay. So I'm gonna say the top average attendance for the competition is the Japanese league.
I just need to bring it up. It's hard because it's sort of toing and froing. Maybe I don't even have that. Great quiz, isn't it?
Great quiz.
Oh, yeah, no, I do have it. I do have it. I do have it. Okay. You think they're the top?
Yes.
You're wrong.
Oh, I'm going to say then France. France at one.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you're right.
Okay, France at one. I'm going to say then, so it was the French, the Japanese, Super Rugby, the Premiership, the MLR. Okay, so I'm going to say France, Japan.
Oh, second. And the Champions Cup.
The Champions Cup. That's going to be up there. So that's going to be second. Champions Cup second, Japan third.
Yeah, so we've got France at number one.
Yep.
Average. Then we've got we have got the Premiership at number two.
Wow, I'm surprised by that.
So France's average of 14,800.
Wow, okay. What's the Premiership at?
Premiership is 13,300.
Okay. Then it's going to be Japan?
Now Japan is only at 11,700.
Okay. Is anyone in front of them though? Anyone else? So you've got France, Prem, Japan, but is anyone in
Champions
front of them?
Champions Cup was 13,400, but that's just like the Heineken Cup, isn't it?
That's the Heineken Cup, so it didn't count. So then Japanese after that?
Yep.
Oh, so then we're surely, what's left? The Super Rugby's got to beat the MLR.
So, yes, I think the MLR is only like 8,000. I don't actually have – I've got their highest attendance, which was only 11,400.
Yeah. And what's the Super Rugby's average attendance?
Super Rugby's average attendance is 11,500.
Oh, it's actually more than I thought it was going to be, eh?
Yeah.
More than I thought it was going to be. Cool. Actually, I've got a quiz for you, sir.
Oh, excellent.
So, and it's very similar. Can I just say that? It's really? Like we've spoken about this. Mm. This is higher or lower, okay? So I'm going to give you two stadiums, and you've got to work out which one is higher or lower than the, or which one is higher. Okay. So we're going to start off by saying Twickenham has 82,000. Okay. That's what it holds. Does the Stade de France hold more or less than Twickenham?
Holds more.
That was loud. That was loud.
I didn't
you
even
are
hear it.
Wrong. You are
I
wrong.
I didn't even hear it.
Oh, there we go. I've got to put it on there. No, you're wrong there, mate. It is under. It's just okay. Smaller. Okay. So next one. What about Murrayfield? Yeah, has 68,000. Yeah. Is the Stadio Olimpico in Rome bigger or smaller than Murrayfield?
Murrayfield's 60,000.
68,000.
Wow. I think it's smaller.
Wrong.
I think you've done this quiz with me before.
And no, not on these ones. I've done it with others at the other stadium. But no, it's significantly more, Stadio Olimpico, right? It's actually, I've been there, and it's one of those annoying stadiums with the running track around the outside.
Oh, yeah.
And you are miles away from the pitch.
What? How many does it have?
So it's got 74,000.
Okay.
So significantly bigger. All right, moving on. The Aviva Stadium in Ireland or Eden Park? So the Aviva Stadium has 53,000 seats. Is Eden Park bigger or smaller? Now, I'm guessing this is their normal, you know, when they had the World Cup, they put in additional seats and stuff.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So this is the normal capacity.
How much was Aviva?
53,000.
I think Eden Park's more, but only just.
Oh. Wrong, mate. It's less. 3,000 less.
For the World Cup, it was massive, it was like 64,000 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they obviously put in a hell of a lot more seats. Mate, you're doing really well on this quiz. Can I just say that?
I'm wrong.
All right, here you go. Is Westpac Stadium more or less than the Rotorua International Stadium? The Rotorua International Stadium holds 34,000. Is Westpac? Is Westpac bigger or smaller than that?
Westpac is it called the Sky Stadium now
In Wellington?
In Wellington.
The Caketon.
Rotorua must be bigger then.
You going for bigger?
Yeah. Oh, is it like 36,000 or something?
It's 34,500. So there's 500 more seats. I was shocked, eh? Rotorua is massive. Okay, last ones. The Forsyth Barr Stadium, is it bigger or smaller than the AMI or Orange Theory Stadium in Christchurch? Is Forsyth Barr bigger or smaller than the Orange Theory Stadium in Christchurch?
It's bigger.
You going bigger? You're right. Oh, mate, you saved it, eh? Jeez. Wait for this, though. The Orange Theory Stadium, I think it's called that now, is 18,000.
Wow. That's quite a lot.
No, it's not. It's tiny. Yeah.
Nah, it's huge.
And the Forsyth Barr Stadium is 31,000?
Is it 31?
I'm shocked. I didn't think it looked that big.
I think we can't see the big stand, though, eh? Where the camera is the big stand. It goes right back.
Wow, I'm actually shocked. It's you know, it's pretty close to the Caketon.
Yeah.
And the Caketon's like circular with it's an odd shape, whereas the Forsyth Barr, you know, that is a rugby pitch. You're right on top of the game.
Although it's got standing indoor area, doesn't it?
Does it? I don't think it does.
Oh, no, it doesn't. No, you're right, it doesn't.
That was the old House of Pain, mate. House of Pain. Mate, listen, that's the end of the show.
Correct.
What can people do to support us?
Like, share, subscribe, email, message, Patreon link is below. Yeah, and if you become a Patreon, then you become a member of our WhatsApp group. So please do sign up. You know, every little bit helps. New tech, all that sort of jazz to make our delivery to you better.
And also the Super Brew. So
yes, Super Brew.
Sign 50, up to 50
odd people have signed up, I think.
50 odd people. And yeah. Six Nations is knocking on the door, and I can't wait for it.
Six Nations is very, and Super Rugby very ain't soon.
Far away as
end
well.
End of next week, actually.
End of next week, mate.
So we'll go through some stuff. Oh, there you go, 56 people.
Not me yet, but I'll be signing up tonight, sir.
There you go, good man.
As always, it's been awesome doing the show with you, sir. Until next week.
See you later.
Podcast Network.